B-Pod Studios.
Slots to both sides of the field for San Francisco. Third down and 8. Snap to Kaepernick. Back to throw. Looks, floats it to the left. Open and into the end zone. Touchdown to Randy Moss.
My God.
Randy Moss on a 25-yard touchdown reception from Colin Kaepernick.
Hello? I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 and four. I wish I was like 6'9" so I could get with Leo.
All right, so I'm playing devil's advocate a little bit here on the Colin Kaepernick stuff. If I were the Patriots, I'd draft a guy second, third round somewhere, clean slate, bring him in and start working with him.
I think the third
someone who doesn't have any...
Yeah.
Issues that you need to correct.
I think Danny Etling's better than him.
Go ahead.
So, wait, Danny Etling's better than Colin Kaepernick?
A year in the system, yeah.
Oh,
I'd be more comfortable with Etling going in the game.
I disagree on that
front. Oh, okay.
But anyway, here's what I think people need to remember. We all famously know about the, you know, 2000 when Tom Brady was drafted, the Patriots were carrying 4 quarterbacks.
Right.
4 guys. But the norm... for much of Bill Belichick's tenure as head coach in New England, has been to have 3 quarterbacks on the roster. I mean, that went on for years. When Matt Castle was the backup to Brady, there were always other guys. Even go before that, Damon Heward was the backup. Then there was Rohan Davey, right? When you had Matt Castle, oh, yeah, you had Doug Flutie for a year in 05. In 2006, you had Matt Castle, and you also had Vinny Testaverde on the roster.
Okay.
2007. Do you know who the backup, the third string quarterback was in 2007?
Yeah, Gutierrez.
Matt Gutierrez was on the roster. And you go through and there's, you know, there's a whole long list of the years.
Mallett was behind Hoyer. The
there
first
you go.
Time yeah. Hoyer was here.
Mallett and Hoyer together on the roster.
I remember okay. Gutierrez.
Kevin O'Connell was here
yeah.
in 2008.
Last year.
When Castle obviously had to play when Brady got hurt. But Kevin O'Connell was on the roster in 2008. And you just go through the years and look at all the different years that the Patriots had 3 quarterbacks on the roster. They could do it again.
Garoppolo and the Pied Piper.
There you go.
Hey, the Pied Piper.
Okay. So, yes, a bit more.
So they have been carrying 2 now for a few years because Garoppolo, they got to a point where they felt like, okay, we don't need anybody behind Garoppolo. He's good enough that, you know, if... we need the backup. We've got the guy. There's always sort of been the backup, and then the young kid, they're trying to see if there's anything there.
Yes.
You could add Kaepernick and not have to let go of Hoyer, would be my point.
But he's not a young kid to see if there's anything there.
What's Vinny Testaverde or Doug Flutie after Castle was the backup? Castle was the backup, and then they had an old veteran there, too.
But Castle was the young guy.
He was, but he was also the backup. If okay. Brady went down. It was going to be Castle,
if
then
you're
Flutie.
Two,
Castle, then Testaverde.
If you're going to have 2, you're going to have either somebody who is obviously being groomed to be the next guy and someone behind him, or you're going to have a young guy and you're going to have a veteran. If you bring in Kaepernick, all you have is 2 more veterans backing up Tom Brady. What's the point of that?
Well, because in the same vein of it being a young guy who you're trying to develop, it would be an older player, a veteran player in Kaepernick, who you're trying to develop into what you want him to be as a quarterback. He's a project.
I think it's a waste of a roster spot.
And I agree. The better move is to bring in another young guy and draft
right.
a player. But the idea that you wouldn't bring him in to be your backup, because it speaks to what you're talking about. Well, different teams have different needs. Well, the Patriots have had 3 quarterbacks before. They will have 3 quarterbacks again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about a roster crunch. That's not why. You would bring him in with the full expectation you are the third string quarterback, you are the project, and we want you to possibly someday be the starting quarterback. Are you willing to do that? And my guess is there's no shot he'd be willing to do that. There's no way he would want to do that. That's not who he is. He thinks he's going to come in and be a starter on a
he
team.
He thinks he should make more
Nobody
money
wants
than
him
Tom
as a
Brady.
Starter in
he
this
thinks
league.
He should make more money than Tom Brady.
No, he doesn't.
He does. If that's what Darren Revelle said, he wants more than $20 million a year.
Let's put that aside for 1 second, though, because that's a different conversation.
No, it's money.
In terms of what he is as a quarterback,
not very good.
He'd be a project here, and he'd be the third string guy, and there's no shot that's going to happen. But do you think if he was willing to do it, the Patriots would be open to it?
No, I don't think he's willing to do it.
If he was willing to do it, would the Patriots have been? Would they be open to it?
I don't know. They brought Tim Tebow in.
Consider it.
Hey, if you would, if you brought Tim Tebow in and everything else that comes with him and his inability to throw the football, and you thought I can make him throw.
Let's see.
They worked with him and it never happened. He still threw like paint cans. Something happened with Kaepernick, and you heard Gil and I there on the call. They were up 28-0 in that rain game, and he played his ass off in the rain here, driving rainstorm, wind, cold, and then he went that vegan route. And stopped like lifting and getting bigger. He was a physical specimen. He lost like 15, 20 pounds. He looks like a different guy. Looks like he's not strong. Looks like he doesn't have a burst. I remember him playing against Green Bay, flexing, you know, running over guys on the sideline. Clay Matthews couldn't even tackle him. Those days are gone. That weapon is no more. So what are you bringing him in for? There's no upside with him. He hasn't played in a while. I don't think the desire is there. If he really wanted to play, and he kept saying it, all I want is a shot.
Well, what was the upside with Tebow?
AAF's giving you a shot.
They gave it a shot.
They wanted
to see if anything was there. They explored it, and that was, what would you call that? Outside the box. When the rest of the league didn't want Tebow anymore, Bill and Josh McDaniels were willing to take a look and say, maybe they have not. You know,
but you know what? That kid
gotten
cared about
everything
football.
Out of him that other people, you know, weren't able to get out
and
of
that
him.
That kid
we'll
cared
take a
about
look
football.
Too. He and cared. What did they do? They took a look. They had him for a while, and they said, "Yeah, there's nothing here.
All right,
he's out."
Yeah, but he cared about football. You know, and he tried to absorb things. I give him credit because I don't think he's that good. But he had an opportunity. He had a chance.
He's not good.
No,
he's not good. Okay. So
I don't think this guy's
good.
I don't think he cares about football.
Carter thinks, oh, who could be an outside-the-box team that's willing to do things differently that might give the kid a shot? And he names the Patriots. And people take that as some sort of insult or horrible.
No, it's not an insult because you have Tom Brady.
It's a compliment to your team. It's a compliment to think.
You know what it is?
You know,
who's
willing to take
side.
On a guy and see it? And this, I'm speaking strictly from a football standpoint on this front. I know Chris Carter went into other things about
whether
or not they'd be willing to deal with them. But if you're looking for an outside-the-box team, you look no further than Patriot Place.
They brought in Josh Gordon.
Outside the box.
They brought Josh Gordon in. That's outside the box.
Yeah.
That's outside the norm
that's
for them.
They were desperate at the position. So anyway, that's all I took away from Chris Carter. I think he's wrong. I don't think there's any shot it happens. I don't know where he gets the stuff about Kraft being fond of Kaepernick. I don't know where that comes from. Maybe he's talked to them about it. I have no idea. The part about the money, though, in the AAF and this report from Darren Revelle, if I were Colin Kaepernick, in his position, I'd be asking for $20 million, too, to go play in that crap league. You know why? Do you know how much he'd be worth to that league? How many eyeballs would all of a sudden be watching their games because he was playing?
Not $20 million.
Monetarily speaking, I got no issue with that guy saying, you want me to play in this silly league? If you want me playing in this league.
That's more than just
a startup league that is desperate for people to watch it. You couldn't buy better publicity than putting Colin Kaepernick in uniform and starting him at quarterback.
Him and Tim
because
Tebow.
It would attract eyeballs.
Him and Tim
it
Tebow.
Would bring attention to your league. And you know what? Going in, from what I've seen of that league, he'd be the best quarterback playing in that league.
Maybe. Jamarcus Russell's going
to
play now.
If they gave him $20 million today to go play in that league, and he went and played a full season, it'd be the best $20 million they had ever spent.
I'd watch the whole game.
But that time,
so that's why he's asking
against him. Yep.
He's no fool. He knows what he's worth to a league like that.
But he also knows that he hasn't played in 4 years.
He also knows that he doesn't want to go do that. Why would you want to go do that?
He doesn't care.
Who the hell wants to go play in that league?
And he knows.
This guy went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. But he hasn't played football in 4 years, and he knows, or at least thinks, somewhere in his heart, it's like, he really can't play. Really can't play anymore at any kind of level. At that level, would he be good enough? Would he be better than everyone else out there? Yeah.
Yep, he would.
Would it be enough to change people's minds and say, look, he can play in the NFL? I doubt it. And the risk to him is monumental.
Wait, do we not think he's capable of playing in the NFL? He's capable of playing in the NFL.
I don't know that he is.
Not at a high level.
Compared to some other guys
not
in this
anymore.
League, of course
not,
he's capable of playing in this league.
No, if he stayed working with it, maybe.
They brought, what's
he
his
changed.
Name?
He changed.
DC this year. Don't tell me he's not capable of playing in the league. He's capable of playing in the league.
Well, capable is he function. Can he function?
Yeah, he can function. Yeah, of course he can function.
Anybody can function.
Last time we saw him, he was starting for an NFL team. I mean, they weren't good. They stunk. But he's capable of playing in the league.
You could have had a better outside-the-box type coach than Chip Kelly, and he couldn't do a damn thing with him.
I think Chip Kelly made him worse.
Mm.
Chip Kelly made that guy worse.
Simple read, RPO. One read, read the backer, read the end, throw it or hand it off.
But the best spot for him is somewhere as a backup where he's not going to be showcased. He's not going to be exposed.
No,
he's there as a fail-safe as someone's backup on a team that already has a quarterback, but you put him in to start? Is that a recipe for success?
No.
For any
in
team?
In the NFL?
Yeah.
God, no.
No.
No, 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 no. I would never say that. Hell no. So that's what we didn't ask an NFL team for $20 million for a year. Yes,
no.
Some weirdo, you know, crap league that's out there that's desperate for people to watch them, desperate for attention. For $20 million, they should pay him the $20 million.
You know who should pick him up?
It'd be interesting.
Baltimore should.
If they picked up Colin Kaepernick, I'd watch every one of his games. Every one of his games, good or bad. Just to see if it's bad, see if he's good. It'd be a fun conversation.
Sure would.
Right now, there ain't much in that league that gives me a reason to watch. Other than, oh, they take each other's heads off with big hits. At some point, that gets a little bit old.
Not really.
At some point, you actually want a decent football game to break out. Like, that's all I'm hoping for.
All right, we're going
to
do calls next?
Yes, we can do the calls next.
All right,
617-779-0985. Hang tight. We'll get to you next.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zo and the Beatles.
This was the intro song for a show on HBO that I think lasted two seasons. How to Make It in America.
Oh.
And they killed it.
I thought it was something I watched.
Eddie Murphy?
That's coming.
No.
Come on to America. Soul Glow.
I think it had two seasons.
Hello, Daryl. What's that? McDowell's.
Right.
Yeah, Eric LaSalle. 16 episodes, two seasons. And they killed it, and it's outrageous. It had Luis Guzman in it, who I love.
Love Luis Guzman.
I love him.
He's
and
great.
He played this awesome guy who owned a company. He was like running like an energy drink company or something. He was great.
Yeah.
It was a good show. It was a funny show. But they killed it. Killed good TV right there. Makes me sad. Thanks for playing that, Tom. We still haven't fixed that stupid thing. How's it? We'll fix it next break.
We'll go fix it
next break. Keep reminding ourselves.
Hey, I'm just lucky my computer turned on.
All right, so Hardy, the questions for Pauly, you have them?
Is this really Pauly?
Yeah.
All right, so he can hear us right now.
Yeah, he is. He's on hold. Well, so let's just verify.
We're not going to allow him to
Pauly,
talk.
Pauly, you're listening to us right now, right?
Totally.
Okay, hold on. All right.
So you're gonna ask him one question.
Yes.
Are you prepared to apologize?
Yes.
For your actions at the Super Saturday rally? And include an apology to Mike Felker. And if you say yes, then we'll listen. If you say no, then we're done.
Okay.
Okay?
He hung up.
You think he sobered up since that party?
He hung up. No, he was sober.
I just went to pot him back up, and he hung
up. Well, maybe... Did you
oh, he's
put
back.
Him back on hold?
Yep.
Okay.
Don't worry. He'll
he's
call
gone.
Back.
He's gone. He hung
He'll
up.
He'll call back.
He was
oh,
on
he
hold
did.
As soon as I was ready to... pick him back up, and he heard your question. He hung up.
All right.
So maybe that's his way of saying no.
Maybe.
All right. Well, we move on.
Okay.
617-779-0985. Paul, you're listening to us right now, right?
Totally.
Okay.
We'll see if he calls back.
Okay.
Adam's in the car. Adam.
So I had a comment on... the successor of the Patriots.
Sure.
And I also believe it's in a league, and I believe it's one of the people that were on draft board last year. I think it's, with 1 year experience as a starter, Josh Rosen, with Kingsbury taking a head coaching position, we could possibly trade a first or second rounder for him. He has a year experience. We have some film on him, see who we could work with. And a few years under Brady, he could be a very good successor.
Only problem in doing that right now is they just committed to him for the year. Cardinals have committed to Josh Rosen. As Jim said the other day, do you believe him?
I draft a kid next year. I don't do it this year. Because you got Brady. You're all in. You're so all in on Brady right now. Okay?
Just
hear me out for a second. So you're in this thing to keep Brady upright, to get a tackle, to get a receiver, to do things to help him function in an offense where he's going to have health. And he's going to be able to be there for 16 games. So you're going to do a quick pace offense, get the ball out of his hands. You have a running game now, and you're going to continue to build for that. Why would you waste a very high pick to not help him here in that two-year window? Where you could do it next year when a quarterback class is better, then have him sit for a year and then get him ready. I think you're 2 years out. Not this draft, next draft. This is not a great draft class for quarterback.
The Patriots are going to have 3 third-rounders, right?
Yeah.
2 second-rounders, 3 third-rounders is the projection. So if they spent one of those picks on a quarterback, that's too much. That's a very high pick.
You know, say you lose one of your safeties. Say McCourty retires. Say something happens with Hightower. Say they go to him and say they want to take a pay cut. He doesn't. Say he's not there. Say Trey Flowers gets paid by somebody. Now you're losing 3 quality starters off that defense. Say a tight end retires. There's a lot of needs to fill. There are. To help the quarterback, you got to play good defense too. What helped the quarterback in that Super Bowl?
Your I'm just
defense,
saying if they had six picks or more in the first 3 rounds. That's you can't use one of them on a quarterback.
But if you look at the Garoppolo class and look at last year's class and you say, boy, okay, there are 2 really strong quarterback classes there. We could probably justify using our. They did use a second round pick in the 60s for Garoppolo.
Yep.
Would they have used any of those other ones for others? I don't think this is a great class.
Okay.
So why use it?
Do you know what I've sort of started to realize about this? And you draft guys can tell me if I'm right or wrong. That when they grade the quarterback classes every year, it's a deep quarterback class. Oh, it stinks. Is that not always sort of graded on the top 3 or 4 guys? Is that always the way it goes?
Kind of.
Sometimes even less.
Well, it's how many first rounders do you have? Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're not drafting one in the first round and you're looking at the second or third round, is there a major disparity year to year in third round quarterbacks?
Probably not.
No. So it doesn't matter which year it is. Like they're not drafting Tua next year, as far as we know. You know what I mean? Their pick is not going to be there. So I don't know. I don't know if there's a big difference year to year when you're talking about late second, when you're talking about the 66th overall pick. Let's go to Wayne, who's in Maine. Wayne in Maine, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Beto, I think you're a little bit delusional when you talk about Colin Kaepernick. Zoe, you hit it right on the button. He's finished business. He hasn't played in 4 years. It would take him at least another year and a half to get in shape.
He doesn't care about the game enough.
His career is over. Not to mention the fact that the vast majority of the fan base in New England wouldn't go for him.
Well, you get used to it because you're a Patriots fan. That's what you do. Remember, you would never take a guy like Josh Gordon, but you did, and you cheered for him. Randy Moss, Corey Dillon. It happens.
Haynesworth,
bad guy, stepping on people's heads.
I'm not worried about Patriots fans. They'll twist themselves into a pretzel no matter who it is.
Oh, I'd love it just to see Jim Murray.
You're bringing an axe murderer tomorrow. They'll be, oh, no, but you don't understand. He's misunderstood.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You know, they start changing their avatars on social media to a picture of the guy. You know? Misunderstood. We got to get behind these people. You know?
Yeah. 10 up. Hey, maybe David Price wore number 10 for Josh Gordon. Nobody said that. Huh? Doubling down.
I think you say I'm delusional, Wayne, because you just don't like Colin Kaepernick, which is fine. You don't have to like Colin Kaepernick. But I don't know
what
I said.
Not many people do.
What did I say that was wrong? That I think he what?
I think you still play football? I think you were clear on what
I mean,
you
Wayne,
would bring him in at.
Wayne, if you really want me to go down the list of guys who play quarterback in the National Football League, it's a horrible argument to make. Because there are guys in the National Football League who can't play football right now. Right. Lots of them. Lots of them that are bad at playing quarterback that are still in this league.
Yep.
That's what I would say about that. So that's not a great argument. You're basing that just on the fact that he's had time off. Like, oh, I don't know. What's his name? I got to come up with who that name was. Who did they bring back this year? Was it Josh Freeman who played?
Josh Johnson.
Josh Johnson made it back to the NFL this year. When was the last time he had played in the NFL? And he played. He had games to play. Oh, God. Although he sort of hung around year to year, finding a million teams each year that sign him for a week and then let him go. He stinks. He can't play quarterback either. Frederick's in Billerica. Frederick.
Yeah, hi. This is Frederick Senior.
Hey, Senior.
What?
Frederick Senior, it's Fred's dad.
Yep. I'm calling to find out, what are they going to do with the young kid quarterback, Danny Enkling, from LSU? Are they going to try to use him, or are they going to try to get rid of him?
Trying to develop him. He travels with the team on the road, which is unusual. Not many guys do that never dress out.
Are our callers starting to do what players are doing, and they're identifying themselves as senior?
Yeah.
When they call in?
Oh, you mean put on a jersey?
Marcus Morris. Yeah. Senior.
This is Fred Senior.
Steve Smith.
This is Fred.
Senior.
This is Freddie Senior.
I want you to know that I
Freddie Junior.
I want you to know that I have a son, who I also named Fred.
Is he Fred the third or Fred the second? Fred Senior is like Fred first,
right?
Because yeah. Junior would be Fred too.
Yeah.
Like what's Louth? Louth's like James Louth the third.
He's the third. His son is the fourth.
Jesus. Talk about a weird family. Jesus Christmas.
617-779.
Larry Bird YouTube video.
0985.
What if it's two?
We'll get back to your calls. We got full lines, though. Full lines on this Friday Talking Football. More of them next.
Black and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Joe is in Billerica with some Patriots thoughts today. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
What's happening?
All right, I got a couple things. I'll buzz through them real quick. I'll let you guys talk about them. Number one is Rosen. He's a poor man's Jay Cutler with his disengaged face. I wouldn't want him in a million years.
Seems whiny and smarmy. I don't want him either. I don't like him. I don't like him. I don't want him.
Yep. Number two, I think the Pats will be better next year with some of the young depth. Rivers, Berrios, Bentley, Wynn. I think those guys can all play, and they didn't even touch the field this year, so I'll let you guys talk about that.
Yeah, you had like four guys on scholarship. You know, just redshirt. Duke Dawson, second-round pick.
I keep hearing about Duke Dawson. I'd like to see him get on the field.
That'd be nice.
Active. Not even play. Just be active for a game.
I'm excited to see what Bentley can do and keep him with Hightower and Van Noy and let those guys be interchangeable. I think you got something there, the backer position. You know, mix it in with Landon Roberts. Bentley can play. I think he can play.
From what we saw, he was really good.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. Paul in Rhode Island. Hi, Paul.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, listen, I just read an article about Anthony Davis last night. The Pelicans beat OKC, but Anthony Davis hurt his right shoulder.
Yep. He bruised his shoulder.
Before the half, but his agent actually took him to get the MRI. Is that something I've never heard of? You guys can talk about it. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, if it gets okayed through the team, sure. You know, Brady's got his own guys. Brady could go to his own doctors. You get second opinions. You have hand specialists, shoulder specialists, knees. Gronkowski went to Andrews, went to the back guy out west.
When he trashed the Brady's agent, knee. Does he mean that like the agent, gave him a ride? Him,
probably.
That's not a big deal. That could mean nothing at all. Yeah. You know, they have X-ray machines at pretty much every building. They don't have MRI machines at every building.
Brady blows his knee out. Will McDonough's there waiting to take him out. You know, they escort him out. They take him wherever he needs to go.
Right.
It's a big deal. It's not a big deal.
It may have just been a time thing where someone needs to take him and bring him to get the MRI.
Hey, Gronkowski got hurt in a game where Drew Rosenhaus was at. I guarantee you Drew would be in a car with him leaving the stadium, you know, just to make sure everything's okay. It's a concern there. That's, you work with that guy.
His status is now up in the air for the All-Star.
Oh, he better be careful. He and Kyrie might not be able to play. Oh, maybe they should just sit there in street clothes and talk.
Can't wait for the All-Star game. Can't wait.
What time is that Sunday? Sunday night?
It's like, I don't know, 5, 6, late afternoon it feels like.
I'll find out, and that way we can all
set. Oh, I can't wait.
We can all Google set reminders. Set our agenda from watching that.
Program my phone.
Yeah. Nick in Brighton. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, I do.
What's up, Zoe?
What's up, man?
8 p.m.
Nice phone.
Thank you. So I just wanted to call and say that Jacoby Brissett is a free agent in 2020, and he showed that he can win with a pretty bad team around him in Indianapolis. Oh, and
no, I think he showed he can play in this league and keep it going until the next guy's ready.
I have no interest in Jacoby Brissett being the next starting quarterback.
He's a bridge guy. He's a very, very, very good backup that will play a long time in this league. Not as your starter.
Pied Piper.
We all like him.
He's a great guy.
Great guy.
Take him over Kaepernick.
Good locker room guy for sure.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough for whoever gets that job. Like the actual starting quarterback to take over from Tom Brady. Actually, I take that back. I don't know how tough it's going to be because the expectations are going to be so low compared to what they, you know, the Patriots fans had here for so long. It may not be all that tough.
Yeah, ask Miami, 27 quarterbacks.
But Jacoby Brissett, though, is like the ideal backup quarterback. Yeah.
That's who you
good
want.
Leader.
That's who you want instead of Kaepernick.
Sort of a guy that all his teammates really enjoy being around.
Yeah. Right. You know, But
he's the perfect guy for that job. And he doesn't totally suck.
But is he? Is he anybody's plan to be their next starter?
No, he's not good enough. No. I have no interest in that being the case. John and Seekonk on Colin Kaepernick. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How you doing, John?
Hey, listen, I think Kaepernick and McDaniels would be a really good fit together.
Who?
Kaepernick and McDaniels.
Kaepernick and McDaniels would be a really good fit together, especially when Brady's time to call it quits and Belichick's on his way out. My only concern with Kaepernick was his commitment to football. I understand he was offered a contract with the AAF, and he turned it down because they didn't give him the money. So that would be my only concern, guys.
Yeah, that to me is not concerning at all about his commitment to football. What would be concerning is if he's been offered good NFL jobs and turned them down, and no one can seem to nail down the truth on that story. There's been reports that he wanted $9 million in Seattle. No one anywhere has verified anything that's been reported. It's sort of aggravating.
Yeah, just think it's so
because I want to know.
Put
I don't know
put
what the
numbers
deal is
out there. Put the
numbers
out there.
I want to know what the deal is. I want to know the truth.
Yeah, I like to see a team say, "Hey, we offered him. We offered him $8 million. He told us to go pounce."
And
him.
I've become just there's as no annoyed with his here. Camp. Anytime there's a report on anything with Kaepernick, no, it's not true.
So what?
What have you been doing? Nothing for the last 3 years. Every time there's anything reported on him, they just deny it. And whatever it is, it's not true. I'd like to know. I'd like to know if that's true. Did he turn down a job in Seattle where there was, you know, some real money offered there? I don't know. I have no idea.
See, the commitment to football is a legitimate question, though.
At the NFL level, don't start holding the AAF against him.
Yeah.
Please.
From the outset, did he want to play? Of course he wanted to play. That's why he did. He was a football player. Does he want to play now? Now does he want to play?
I don't know the answer.
I don't know either.
And there are very few people that actually know that answer.
Has he been offered anything in Canada?
I believe so. But again, I won't hold Canada against him either. I'm not going to hold the CFL, the AAF, the XFL when that comes around. I'm not going to hold any of those things against him. Because that's not the real level of football that he had achieved in his career. Scott's in New Bedford. Scott.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
So just a quick thing on diet comparison between Brady and Kaepernick. So to Zoe's point, Kaepernick in the last full season he played in looked like, you know, he had participated in a mess marathon in Southie on the off season.
What?
And, you know, you make the comparison
a
to Brady,
marathon
a guy who's
in Southie.
Yeah, a guy who's on a real weird diet, but Brady's not a high-muscle guy, so that diet works for him. But Kaepernick, you know, he's a guy who's a big muscle mass guy. That's when he was at his best.
Right.
And if I was the GM or the coach, the first question I ask Kaepernick, if I give him a call, is when the last time he had a steak was. Have a good day, guys.
Okay. I like steak. Very relevant. Eat more meat. Eat more cows.
Speaking of the CFL, Andrew on the road has something on the CFL. We'll take it. What do you got?
All right, boys. Little League up north there in the CFL. My second cousin through marriage out in Calgary says there's a guy who reminds him of Drew Brees, 6'2", out of Eastern Washington back in 2014. You want to talk about a guy who's going to come in and light a fire in everybody's butt there in Patriots Nation.
Is it your cousin's sister's friend? Or is it?
I'm on the end of this.
Nope, my second cousin through marriage.
Got it. Who's the guy?
Lives out. Bo Mitchell's his name. I was getting to that, but I was talking too much. Bo Mitchell's out of Eastern Washington. He's a good guy. He's got 6'2". He's not that tall, but he's got a Drew Brees S. That's what I've been told. Outside the box, bring him in, develop him. I think the CFL needs a little more representation in the NFL. It's a good league. I watch it every now and then. It's a lot of fun.
Okay. Bo Levi Mitchell.
Good name.
Plays for Calgary.
Hey, Bo.
2018 season, threw for 5,124 yards, 35 touchdowns, 14 picks. Bo Levi Mitchell out of Katy, Texas, just outside of Houston.
Hell yeah.
Played at Eastern Washington.
Yep.
6'2", 198.
Big strapping dude.
Threw for 35 touchdowns, owns, career high.
Owns three horses.
In 2018. Keep an eye on him. Maybe he'll make it in the league.
Heard it here first, and then you could call back and laugh at us for laughing at
it. I'm not laughing at it.
Just like that. What was that guy's name? Is that Scott?
Let me tell you what. If I had to play a game tomorrow, would I want Bo Mitchell or I want Danny Etling? Give me Bo Mitchell. Guy's a pro. We have a CFL logo behind us already.
Take it down. Take that thing down.
Yeah, NBC Sport. I like it. I like it.
Yeah, soccer emblem.
Dave is in Chicago. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. So I got a question for you. But have you ever met Colin Kaepernick?
I have not.
No. I was wondering, guys, do you guys think he's we haven't heard him talk in about, what, 3 years? Like, I haven't heard him in press conferences or anything like that. I mean, I've always wondered, maybe he's just not that smart. Maybe he's just one of these guys that couldn't work in an NFL system any longer. I mean, I'm not sure what happened, you know, with him and Harbaugh at the end, but I remember his last two seasons were disasters, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered, you know, maybe he doesn't want to go into these new leagues or this type of stuff. Maybe he just wants to be a starter and he's having people pull the
I don't think so. I think he wants to be a backup. I think he wants to be a backup in a National Football League and be paid $10 million to do it.
Good
work. I think that's what he wants.
Get it. Good work. 617-779-0985. Let's transition to the Red Sox. Dustin Pedroia had some comments today about his knee surgery that he had in November of 2017. The knee surgery that he had prior to only playing three games last season. It sounds like he may have some regrets about how it was all handled.
Oh, boy.
We'll get to that right after this. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Steven said that he didn't think his knee would ever be 100% again. Do you think you can get your knee all the way back, or do you kind of feel the same way about that?
Do I get my knee 100%?
Yeah.
Shit, it ain't even my knee, man. It's somebody else's, bro. Huh? My right knee's 100%. No, I don't. They wouldn't tell me.
Dustin Pedroia. He's got a cadaver's ligament.
How many jelly knees did I have?
So that's why he said, bleep, it's not even my knee. Dustin Pedroia also said this today when talking about having the surgery that he had in November of 2017 after the 17 season to sort of get right, and what he expected was to come back and be able to play, and that obviously wasn't true last year. He played a total of three games. So in hindsight, it sounds to me like he has some regrets about it, even though he specifically said today, I don't have regrets. Here is what he said.
When you were talking about the timing, some of the things they told you were a little off.
Yeah.
Knowing what you know now, would you still have the same surgery, or do you think...
No, I wouldn't have done it. I mean, I don't regret doing it, but I mean, looking back and knowing what I know now, I wouldn't have done it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, what was sort of your other options other than what you had? Just to manage it?
Change like rehab styles, treatment styles, things like that. You know, it's a complicated surgery. I mean, you know, the cartilage in my knee is great now, but the graft is the thing. You're putting somebody else's bone in your body, you know, to get that to incorporate fully. You know, there's so many things that, you know, and going into it, I didn't know all that stuff. You know, I thought they were like, oh, you have a, you know, you tore this, we can fix it. I'm like, oh, that sounds great. But I didn't know, you know, I didn't go to medical school, which probably could have, but, you know, I didn't know all that stuff at the time.
Dustin Pedroia today saying he would not have had the surgery if he could go back in time. Do you know what I think? He just doesn't want to admit to himself. That's over. He doesn't want to admit it.
Hey, I don't understand why.
He thinks that if he didn't have the surgery, somehow the outcome would be different. What makes him think that?
He didn't understand the depth of it or
change my rehab style?
No, why?
They needed to try and put your knee back together there, Humpty Dumpty.
They put your knee back together and they told you specific
rehab. What do you think was going on there?
How's the rehab going to change and make it better?
You think a guy who did go to medical school, Dustin Pedroia did not, but he says he could have. The guy who did go to medical school told him, we have to try and regrow the cartilage, and yeah, we're going to try and do a bone graft in there. What? Why? You think they told you that because they thought you could just cure it with rehab? His knee had fallen apart. And that's why they had him do the surgery. In their medical opinion, his best chance for a positive outcome where he could continue playing with a bad knee was to go through with the surgery.
Shit, it ain't even my knee, man.
And so now he's looking to put it on something else, trying to think that he could have controlled this better, when the reality is, and it sucks, I mean, no one would wish this on anybody.
What, are they going to give you the wrong rehab?
Got a bad knee. His knee's falling apart on him. His knee is giving out. The knee?
Hardy tried to fix it.
I tried to fix it. There's nothing needs to be fixed.
Maybe you can put a new...
Just don't touch it.
Maybe put a cadaver mic in this one.
Nah, I don't think that's the issue. So, I think that's what it is. I think he's lying to himself. He had the surgery, and it's been a really hard road for him since, and he's only been able to play a total of 3 games and not well. And the future is completely in doubt. But I think the reality is it was in doubt before he ever went and had the surgery. So, the result on the other side, I don't think would have been... more positive than what he's got going on now. That's what I think is going on there. That's why he didn't want that surgery. 617-779-0985, the telephone number. Phone lines are back open. We had to let the system cool down for a couple minutes.
What happened? It was so hot?
I don't know that hot is the right word that I would have used there, but they needed a break.
Yes.
They needed a rest.
Nonetheless, they cooled down.
Now they have relaxed a little bit.
I want Paulie to call back.
Now I think that we're in a better position.
I want Paulie to call back, too.
Pedroia also went on to say that he spent his offseason in Arizona, which we knew, and he wants to try and be playing opening day in Seattle, yet he has no idea whether or not he's going to be able to do that. He doesn't know. And I think that's an honest assessment.
Yeah.
No idea. He says he's confident in where he's at right now. And he's going to bat leadoff, as Alex Cora said in the offseason, promising him he'll bat leadoff if he's able to go.
That doesn't seem like maybe the smartest thing to like put that out there that far in advance, because if anything changes, you know, you've already married yourself to one idea or committed to one idea. You know, what happened to just, well, see how everybody looks, see how everybody's playing, see how everything looks.
120 games.
Well, 125.
They dropped down to 120.
Throughout spring training, you know? You don't have to decide who's going to get the ball day one. You don't have to decide that December.
Put me in, Skip.
You don't have to decide it in February. Just take a look and see how guys are throwing, see how guys are hitting, see how everybody feels.
Yeah. They're going to win 90, 95 games anyway. Wow. In their sleep.
Hey, I have a piece of NBA news that could relate to the Celtics down the road. Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting that New Orleans has parted ways with their general manager. Del Demps is out. And now the team is discussing internal candidates to be the interim GM. Ooh. So Del Demps has been fired. He was obviously the general manager fielding calls on Anthony Davis over the last month. Now they're going to have to deal with somebody new when they call New Orleans. So whatever discussions the Lakers and Celtics have had with the Pelicans to this point, when you swap out your GM, you fire him.
If they go internal, though, somebody
if they
may,
go internal,
may,
then
maybe someone's gonna, already involved.
You have a better chance of picking those convos back up. If they don't, what if they get to the end of the regular season? They say, okay, this is only interim. Now we're going to hire our new guy.
Right.
In the month of June.
Right.
May, whenever they're, you know, wrapping up.
But if it was somebody internal, then, and they stick with that, well, if they were in lockstep with what the other GM was doing. Then...
Sources tell ESPN the Pelicans are planning to be aggressive in the marketplace to hire a high-level basketball executive.
Ooh.
So they might be
Really going all in.
They'll name an interim guy, and they'll spend the rest of their season looking for who their GM will be as soon as July 1 hits to be the guy who's wheeling and dealing on their behalf for the best possible return on Anthony Davis. That's the news on that front today.
It changes things. Absolutely. It's you got a different guy who's going to be picking up the phone and talking the deals and then presenting that to ownership and everything else.
I mean, it's not entirely surprising. I mean, the rumor has been that Del Demps was going to get let go.
Yeah.
It's just a question of when. And now you know. Because he may have tried to save his job by making a deal in season. That was sort of one of the thoughts and theories. That didn't happen. Well, now he's gone. And they're going to go in the high-level marketplace.
high level. They're going to go to the marketplace for high level executive.
11th floor.
Where do you go to get a GM for a team that's not already there with the team? I mean, where do you go for your basketball GM? Can you go out of the box with a hire like that?
GM building in Detroit.
No, you just go for the guys that are, you know, the second in command with other teams.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
It's good for Danny, though. You know, you got an experienced GM that could potentially maybe run circles around, you know, this type of deal. Oh, Danny should get the better of it.
617-779-0985. Speaking of the Celtics, Danny Ainge has a tweet about the team without Kyrie Irving. I'll tell you what that is. Why don't we get to that?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.